in the world we live today, you have to go to the hospital to get your services, or the clinic, or the practice and your insurance plan. Like, that's where you have to go to get your medical services. In a particle world, anybody can build any solution on top of the API.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof. Let's face it, a lot of us are talking about health these days, probably more than before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. And one of the problems that's been with us for a while is how disjointed and inefficient the world of healthcare has been, and health data in particular. Particle Health was created to bring clarity to an overly convoluted system. They built a better way to connect networks, payers, and providers to vital patient health data, which is hopefully the kind of world we'll be living in sooner rather than later. I caught up with their CEO, Troy Bannister, to discuss why what Particle Health is doing is so important in the marketplace, how to challenge the status quo, the quote-unquote fun of fundraising amidst a pandemic, the unanticipated consequences of disrupting healthcare, and much more. So let's jump right in.
Troy, welcome to Future Proof.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
So one thing I'd like to ask everybody at the beginning, who are you? What do you do on a day-to-day basis? I feel like what your company does is a little bit more intricate and hard to explain. You can probably do a better job than me, but I find it so fascinating. So take it away.
Yeah, who am I? Existential question. In the context of this, I'm the co-founder and CEO of Particle Health. We often are compared to Plaid in the finance space, in that we are an API for medical data connected to most electronic medical record companies in the US. I run the company, so, you know, startup CEO stuff.
I love that. And I think, you know, I happen to know that experience from my old agency background. And it's, you know, kind of fun because obviously any given day can wind up being an entirely different experience, right? Totally. But everybody thinks being a founder, you know, type is, glamorous all the time. But what's an example of something you've had to do lately that is the opposite of glamorous?
I had my board meeting right before this, and I'll tell you right now, board meetings are not glamorous experiences. Two-hour deck presentations on all the KPIs and little nuances of the company. I think that's a great example of something that isn't shiny and external that you have to do every 3 months.
Yeah, but at least it's well worth it to make sure things are going in the right direction.
Totally.
I was curious a little bit, and I know we've talked about this offline in the past. You know, I'm a big believer in personally in what you guys do and why it's so important. But in your own mind, you know, why is what Particle does important in the marketplace, and how did you identify that there was a major need there?
Yeah, I think it's always been important, but it's becoming more important because of what's happening in the world. A little background on how I kind of arrived at this. My past has been in healthcare in a few different capacities. I used to work in an ambulance. I went to medical school for 2 years and hated it. Long story, different podcast. Did clinical research for a few years after that at Mount Sinai here in New York, and then was working in venture capital with early stage startups in the healthcare space. It didn't matter if I was in the ambulance, the hospital, doing clinical research, or working with entrepreneurs. Nobody had access to medical data. It's darn near impossible. You know, the most common ways today are by fax machine, which is the overwhelming majority, and then patient portal logins and portal scrapers, which don't work that well either. Who knows where their records are and who knows the passwords to those portals is beyond me. So we thought there had to be a better way to do this. And that's really why, you know, I saw the problem across so many different stakeholders. With COVID, we see this being an even more important problem because as folks, you know, find alternative routes for care outside of going into the hospital or going into the practice or clinic and going to telemedicine or virtual care apps, their data has to go with them to some degree. You have to get that information out of the hospital and into the app or into the, you know, physician at the end of the telemedicine service. So the problem is acutely, you know, present right now in this world today.
One thing, yeah, I think that I was thinking about that, the telemedicine and virtual health companies have been on the rise, you know, in a major way this year. And I feel like in some ways, COVID has just accelerated some of the natural movement that we've seen in this area. I mean, how has Particle Health enabled their continued rise? And how did you even identify that that was a sector? Because there's so many different places I feel like where you can play. How do you as a, you know, entrepreneur identify, well, here are the places that we can get some, you know, major inroads and get some quick wins in there?
Yeah. So you kind of have to ask yourself the question, if you're a company trying to create a new healthcare solution, how do you actually get this integrated into the healthcare system? And today there's only a few ways to do it. One is by paper, which is I send my records to the hospital, to the doctors, and they send their records to me by fax machine. Or you go one by one integrating with hospitals and clinics and labs, which takes a long, long, long time to do even one integration and can cost so much money. So instead, with us, these digital solutions can say, I want to start a new company or I want to create a better product if I'm already established. And with Particle, it's one API, one contract, and you get access to pretty much any hospital and practice and clinics data in the country. So it's a really simple one-stop shop. So what we always ask ourselves is, does this company need to integrate with the healthcare system? And would they find value in a very quick, simple way of doing that? And that's where we provide a lot of those services.
I think that what's really interesting to me about what you're trying to do is that it's a very audacious business goal. It's, on one hand, you've identified there's a major need, but I think that almost you might argue that there's some entrenched players who are just used to, you know, business as usual, and we're comfortable with the status quo, which is having this major problem that we all get used to and don't try to do anything about. So is it just me, or, you know, did anybody, you know, come up and tell you, actually, this is a interesting idea, but it's just too big of an idea to try to tackle?
So 2 years ago, yes, people would tell me all the time, this isn't going to work. People have tried this for decades. I think Microsoft Health Vault was one of the first big stabs at it like 15 years ago. I think they sunset the program like a couple years back from today. But a lot has changed. The big thing being a new law that has passed in March called anti-information blocking. And basically, the law says if a patient wants their record, you as a hospital or you as an EMR have to give it to them via API. It's very similar to what we saw in the UK with open banking that made Plaid really blow up in the finance space. And it's already passed in the US. There's no going back now. So because that law's passed, this audacious goal of ours has the regulatory backing to say it has to happen. You can't disallow it anymore because patients need to have some control over their medical records in a meaningful way. So I think there's a lot that's kind of shifted since we started Particle 2 years ago.
And that's something I want to ask you about, because I saw obviously that was a pretty major shift, which I think was, you know, advantageous to you. But how do you look at the market and say, I have a reasonable belief that something like that's actually going to happen, right?
Because yeah.
Because part of it is, you know, like obviously you can be like an Uber and start to participate in a market where maybe you're quasi-legal, but you've got faith that you're going to have the right regulations that are going to be in place to allow you to grow. So did you imagine that, you know, the landscape was going to change in your favor? And how do you foretell that or not?
Yeah, I'd say it's 10% living and breathing in healthcare for as long as I have and 90% luck. I'm not going to beat around the bush here. You know, Airbnb, for example, it was like the 10th iteration and 10th company on a stay-at-home platform. The reason Airbnb won, of course, they built a good product and they did all the table stakes, but a lot of it was just timing. They just got very lucky with timing at a time when people were comfortable sharing their homes over the internet. Like Uber probably opened the door to sharing your car with strangers, and Airbnb subsequently, you know, hit the mark on timing with sharing your home with strangers. I think a lot of it just has to do with timing. And we got pretty fortunate in our timing that we started when we did. It took us 2 years about to build what we've built so far, which is a platform that can actually do what we say it does, give patients access via a very simple API. So yeah, I think there was a little bit of foresight and a lot of attention in the policy and regulation, but you know, a lot was out of our control. It just passed when it did.
So, I mean, what was it like fundraising, obviously, during such a crazy time? Because obviously, you know, as we all know who follow fundraising, it's like a nonstop process. And it's not something that, you know, you just meet people one day and they sign a big check, right? But this had to be kind of a little bit of a nerve-wracking time trying to go to investors and, you know, close out a funding round, no?
Yeah, it was. I think a little bit of context, we didn't think we're going to raise a round until maybe September of this year, like after summer. And what ended up happening was when we launched our product in February, we had so much inbound interest and potential customers that we were working with that we started to actually have more traction than we thought we would. In, you know, combination with the new regulation that we knew was going to pass about a month ahead of when it did, we had a really compelling story, which was we built it, it works, we have paying customers, and this new rule that's going to be passing and being implemented over the next year is going to blow the lid off the opportunity here. That was enough to get, you know, some term sheets on the table from some VCs. We got the term sheet signed, I think, a couple days before the market crashed due to COVID. And so it was, again, we got lucky with timing. But as you might know, there's this interesting period between term sheet and actually having everything wrapped up with the lawyers and signed up. So we were going through, you know, the early stages of COVID, a lot of the mania and scare media that was coming out while we were trying to finalize these documents. So it was a scary time. But I think at the end of the day, everybody realized Particle is going to be important, COVID or not. So we kind of had that, you know, argument as we finalized everything.
So I was reading that Greg Yap of Menlo Ventures was quoted as saying, we've understood how much of a challenge and how much of a tax the lack of easy portability of data puts on the healthcare system. But the problem has always been, like, there are so many obstacles and it's too difficult to solve. And I might have gotten a word or two wrong there. I don't often do long quotes, but, you know, it kind of made me think, how do you go about convincing people like that, you know, to invest in your idea, kind of along the line of something being so audacious? You know, like, if there's something that where there are too many obstacles to solve and it's not just one thing, you know, how do you go about convincing people that it is worthy, you know, to come on board and to get behind what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, we compare ourselves and people compare us to Plaid a lot. And there are some similarities in the general idea of solving the fragmented silos of data across healthcare or banking and building a very simple developer, you know, tool for apps like Venmo and Mint and Robinhood to build on top of. There's a lot of congruence there. The biggest difference between what Plaid does and what we do is the complexity. We are not just pulling financial records, we're pulling tons of medical data. And it's in rough standards that do not, you know, work well together. And it's obviously much more private information, right? There's so much information in there that has to be well guarded under the rules like HIPAA, for example, right? So there's so much more to consider, I think, between a Plaid and a Particle. The flip side of that coin, though, is the opportunity, I think, is even bigger than Plaid's. Because this data that we're getting access to is traditionally so hard to reach, and because the data that we get is so deep and dense and rich, there's so much more we can do with it. There's so many different types of applications that could be built on top of it that have a much harder time getting it than, you know, on their own. So I think what we really were able to show is the opportunity here, and that we're actually making significant progress on it. And we have the tailwinds of regulation and policy behind us.
I mean, yeah, that's one thing that I was curious about is how digital healthcare might look different than it does right now in a few years if you get your way, right? If you continue to make progress, like, what are some of the examples? What are some of the outcomes besides obviously business success, but for the greater, you know, consumer community, if you're able to achieve, you know, even part of what you're hoping to achieve?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about your choice. In the world we live today, you have to go to the hospital to get your services, or the clinic, or the practice and your insurance plan. Like, that's where you have to go to get your medical services. In a Particle world, anybody can build any solution on top of the API. And so you as a consumer all of a sudden have a competitive ecosystem of people trying to build the best products for the cheapest price that have no, you know, political bias. There's no price fixing. There's no obfuscation of costs. There's no, you know, rules that exist within the traditional health system in a Particle world. And that's what's really exciting, is if somebody in a garage can build, you know, the next insurance plan or the next, you know, provider ecosystem for you, you might not ever really have to go into the hospital 80% of the times that you do today, because those services now exist in a place outside of the traditional healthcare system. And it's exactly like banking, right? If you wanted to transfer money, you'd have to go in and fill out a form and then wait 48 hours. But now you can do it with Venmo, and Venmo can send $5 to your friend in seconds. It's the same kind of concept. Robinhood is another great example. You can use $2 and invest in a stock with Robinhood versus, you know, having to go in through your Merrill Lynch account and, you know, put a put on a stock trade. There's just so much more you can do when you open it up to developers to compete and build things that are better and cheaper.
Yeah, I think for me, the way that I just look at it is, Yes, you can say there are always unintended consequences of any disruptive and, you know, innovative technology. But I think in the case of what you're trying to do, what strikes me is that, you know, how many people might be impacted adversely, you know, let's say on the insurance side or whatever, versus how many consumers, like let's say 98% of the population stands to benefit from that type of opening up and democratization of the data and medical records.
Yeah, it's a very valid point. And a lot of the pushback on the new anti-information blocking rules has been around that concept exactly, which is, yes, this is going to benefit a ton of people that don't traditionally have access to healthcare services, underserved populations, right? Maybe they can download an app now to get a telemedicine visit, whereas they just traditionally could not go into the hospital and pay the price. But what does that mean on the negative side? What's going to happen? Is there going to be breaches in HIPAA privacy? Will, you know, there be malicious actors using this information? I'm sure that there will. And that's obviously something you have to work and focus one of your core tenets on, never allowing to happen. But overall, this has to happen. People have to have access to their data. And there has to be a more open, competitive place to build healthcare, you know, solutions. So it's like, I think we're at a point now where everybody agrees this is going to happen. This has to happen. Now it's a question of how do you do it in the safest way possible?
Yeah, I think, another thing that obviously you touched on is, you know, the access to apps, you know, like especially like with telemedicine. And there are all these things that have moved forward a lot faster in 2020, simply, you know, as a result of the pandemic. So, you know, before I let you go, I just want to dive into that a little bit. What general trends are you paying attention to with respect to digital healthcare as an insider that you find, you know, particularly interesting, either directly or indirectly to Particle?
Yeah. You know, we spend a lot of time looking at, you know, potential customers, and we spend a lot of time talking to them about Particle and the data that we have and what they could do with that data. And what's really surprising is that it doesn't matter if you're a new company or an established company, there are very important things you cannot do without this data. And it spans the entire gambit of opportunities. It could go from, you know, we've talked to groups, even like life insurance companies. Life insurance companies are still underwriting your policies, faxing for your medical records. It takes, you know, 2 to 3 months. You know, that's something you could cut down into seconds, you know, and probably reduce the cost of your policy by having a better understanding of who you are and what you look like as a from a risk standpoint. And then, you know, players like big insurance companies, as Medicare Advantage really grows in the United States, their ability to manage risk and manage their populations is really important too. They do that by fax machine today. They fax millions and millions and millions of medical records and enter them in manually every 6 months to understand what our population looks like. That could be done in days if the data is accessible.
I got to say, I feel like there's going to be some company that sells fax machines that's going to put like a contract out on your life, you know?
I hope so. That'd be great for my biography.
Where are they getting all these fax machines, you know, at this point? Seriously, it's 2020. But no, I mean, you're right. It is one of those things where it is this danger in a weird way where everybody invests in a new technology. They become very reliant on that technology. And then they start to almost fight against doing anything that, you know, forces them to innovate until you have a company like yours that doesn't have any kind of stake in the old paradigm. So you're incentivized to basically blow it up. And there are some people who out there who I feel like, you know, you've had to deal with and educate who are incentivized to try to keep that paradigm in place for as long as possible until it does blow up. Because it feels like with things like this, it's inevitable, but there are people who just push back on it until they can't push back anymore.
This is the nature of healthcare. This is how it is, why it moves so slowly. You know, it has to move slowly to make sure we're doing it the right way and we're doing it in the safest, most compliant way. So that's great. And, you know, we've been moving so fast. We started 2 years ago and we've made so much progress. As far as healthcare companies go, I mean, we're moving tremendously fast, all things considered. You know, this isn't like a social media app. I think we'd be like filing for an IPO at this point. But as far as healthcare goes, we're moving at a great pace. I'm incredibly optimistic about the future with new laws, the technology we built, what we're, you know, rolling out over the summer, the customers that we're working with are doing some amazing things. So I'm very optimistic about the new ecosystem in healthcare.
Yeah, no, I think obviously a lot of us should be optimistic with you doing work like this. So, you know, I got to thank you again. I know you're a busy guy, but Troy, thanks again for coming on board. Really appreciated it. And I think a lot of people will get a lot out of this conversation.
Likewise. Thanks for having me. Great questions. And I hope it goes well. Thank you.
Thanks again to Troy for making the time. This is an area that I've personally gotten a lot more interested in lately, and I found it very fascinating and educating conversation for me. If you like what you just heard and this is your first time here, be sure to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the choice is yours. And if you're a longtime listener, please remember to rate and review Future Proof, as that's the number one way we get the show in front of people just like you. Special thanks this week to associate producers Jason Stack and V. Quartuccio. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.